And that's the germination even of the word glance, right? We want to give you information in just a glance, right? So we want to change the context of time in that sense, where you can actually get the right information in just a glance. I feel that's a positive change because it's actually building in far more muscle and helping you actually do better, right? So the onus is on us to figure out a way for how we are going to operate around that technology and how can we make our life more efficient, as opposed to saying it's going to cut down our jobs, or it will be the doomsday conspiracy, so to say.
Hello everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of The Growth Genius, powered by Infidigit, the SEO specialists. This is the platform where we bring to you growth stories in marketing and business from industry stalwarts across the globe. I am Mehul Asher, your host for today, and I am the Senior Vice President at Infidigit. Our Growth Genius for today is someone who is working in a very exciting space. Chances are that the service that they are offering is actually sitting right on your mobile screens right now. And you may probably not know that it is actually a service and not part of your standard software which the telephone company is providing you. I'm talking about Glance, which actually brings to you curated content right on your mobile screens. So without further ado, please join in welcoming Ms. Sakshi Chadda, who is the Director of Marketing at Glance. Sakshi, welcome to the Growth Genius podcast, and thanks a lot for sparing your time. We are really delighted to have you here. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Mel. My pleasure. Looking forward.
Great. Let me start with a basic question, because somebody looks at your profile, your professional journey, you have basically worked across various sectors, and now you are in a very different sector, so to say. So how do you define your current role as of now?
The current role as of now, it's a mix of a lot of things, right? Of course, all this almost a decade and a half experience has led me here. So I, of course, work with Glance. We're a smart screen company. We actually look at transforming your passive screens into smart screens, right? What does smart in this equation mean is essentially your screens can now give you a lot more information than which they were not earlier, right? So idle screens can now become smarter. They can bring information to you basis what your need state is and personalize it. We can curate the information for you and deliver it right when you need it. So right time, right place, right set of information that you may need. And the reason to do this essentially is we feel that there is a lot of overconsumption happening in the world, right? There is just too much information out there. And a lot of times, all of us are going into those rabbit holes today, right? Like you're going into doom scrolling behaviors, you're getting into some sort of a loophole and then just getting lost in that journey. So the intent was that can we be that sort of, safeguard for you, where we bring a meaningful information to you without you having to get lost in a search journey or, downloading multiple apps and trying to find what is right for you. Now, my role actually sits at the cusp of all of this, right? This is a completely new category. This is something that has not been done before. There have been attempts across the world at times, but this is not something in general that as an organization or a business, anyone has looked at bringing this to the world, this technology to the world. And we're pretty much the only player in the world which is now looking at transforming lock screens and also other screens on your mobile devices, on your other smart surfaces, be it your TV or potentially in future, maybe other screens, any other passive screen. So I sit at that table where I'm trying to bring this to the world in a way that consumers find this product or this technology meaningful. They understand the whole purpose and vision behind it, and then of course, consume and adopt it in a manner, that's relevant for them. So I look at marketing at Glance, and that encompasses everything from product marketing to consumer marketing to brand marketing to engagement, growth, adoption, and so on, right? So every aspect of end-to-end journey of a consumer as far as a services, company is concerned. So that's pretty much the charter here. Additionally, Glance, when it started, was a single product company. So we launched about 4 or 5 years back with just our lock screen offering. And now in the last 4 years, we've actually expanded the brand. So my mandate has grown where I'm looking at both the corporate charter, which is at the organization level for people to understand what we are doing as a business at the corporate, what we're doing as a brand on the screens and surfaces. And then there are multiple 0 to 10 businesses that we are now exploring, which are all meant to support the surface screen infrastructure, right? So we've very recently got into gaming as a platform. So we built a new platform called Nostra, which launched last year. So that's a business that I'm looking at, again, from a marketing aspect. We have a weather business. We have an app called One Weather, which is largely available in North America and now coming to this part of the world. So marketing for that. So any businesses that are allied to Glance at the surface level. So marketing for that. So there are about 4 or 5 such new businesses that we are working on within the mobile device screen business, surface business, as well as allied businesses that help us build up these consumption layers, right? So what you see on your lock screen today is pretty much top 7 or 8 consumption categories that almost all consumers like today in terms of consumption, from news, from sports, to gaming, to entertainment, you know, so to all of these, there are about 6 or 7 such categories that typically consumers across the world consume. So we're building, you know, muscle in those. And then hopefully as we get to a PMF, then we bring this out as brands that, of course, will be available on the surface, but they also can integrate to any directly into a manufacturer or an OEM or into an app and support that business. So yeah, this in a nutshell is a role in terms of what I'm doing today.
That's very interesting. In fact, you know, Glance per se has created a new space, you know, if I may. So apart from, you know, the existing products like the lock screens, home screens and folders, you know, you mentioned about some of the new products as well. So, you know, offering standpoint, you know, how did it start and where is it going for Glance?
So, of course, like I said, we started, you know, about like four years back. It germinated with a small seed of an idea. This is part of InMobi. We're part of a larger, of course, organization. So InMobi was in the advertising business. They're an ad tech company, and they were largely shifting towards mobile as a surface, right? And that's when the realization sort of came in that this could be an interesting area for building consumer products as well, right? Apart from the B2B aspect that we were doing, we were working with a lot of brands, agencies, and so on to, of course, deliver their messages. So we understood the communication or the consumption cycle of users. And then the idea was that since we're working on this as, you know, as the surface, is there an opportunity there? And that's where the idea of sort of Glance germinated, that could, you know, a screen like surface on your mobile, something which is passive today, can that be turned into something which is more meaningful for users? And that's the journey of Glance. That's how it started. And now it's blown into a much more larger vision and purpose for us. We feel like, you know, there are a lot of opportunities out there for users to consume. But consumption has taken a slightly different turn in today's world, you know, and we're all struggling with that. We're all trying to cut down time. We're all trying to find a way to make consumption of content and information more meaningful for us. And we feel we can play a small part in that by bringing it to you in a manner where you don't have to make the effort, right? Today, I would spend endless time searching for something that I want. Like there would be like 40, 50, 100 sites that would be available to me to search for that information. And then I have to go through that whole effort of finding what is right for me. And then I'll be sort of directed to either go to a website or download an app. And then within that also, I'll, you know, try and find what I need in, it's, you know, a multi-click journey. It's the amount of time that I would spend on each of these aspects. So that's where the ideation sort of came from. And then once we realized that lock screen as a behavior, we were seeing a lot of interesting trends in the way consumption was changing. People were actually taking to the idea. You know, they were interested in consuming information on the lock screen without taking too much effort. And that's the germination even of the word Glance, right? We want to give you information in just a glance, right? So we want to change the context of time in that sense, where you can actually get the right information in just a glance. Like you don't have to spend too much cycles, in going and looking for it. So that's where the origination of the thought process came. And then we felt like this is extendable. Any such screen today, which specifically even within your mobile device, right? So you have your lock screen, which is of course the first entry point today for us, right? We use our device, I don't know, like hundreds of times in a day. I glance at my phone, and that's equally, it's for everyone. Like we glance probably more than 100 times on our phone, either sometimes with an intent and sometimes completely without an intent, you know, like you're bored and the first thing you want to do is look at your phone, like, let me find what I could do right now. So can I shift that behavior to, instead of you going into a deep, you know, search or unnecessarily scroll, can I just bring you relevant information in that period of or point in time? So that's how the shift happened. We tested it out on the lock screen, saw a good response. We actually see users spending time, but it's not an endless time. Like we're not looking at them just spending like 4 hours on our platform. It is supposed to be a relevant point. And what is relevant for you at that point in time? I am not giving you consumption where you can just go into an endless scroll behavior. This is it. This is what's available. This is what's right for you, because this is what's happening in the world around you at this point in time. This is meaningful. Consume it and then, you know, do whatever your core work is, yeah. Right? We'd like you to get back to that. So typically people spend about 20, 25 minutes on an average on lock screen. So, and we find that that's a good enough amount of time spent for that, you know, moment in the day to get meaningful intent from your passive screen today. And it could be something to do a quick time pass. It could be something to get some meaningful information, which like play a game or, you know, there's latest news happening around you, or a live score, World Cup is happening right now. So we have match score updates right on your lock screen. So you don't need to go inside and do an app, try to find out who's hit the next six or, you know, where the next boundary is coming from. So all of that is there. And then, you know, once this started as a process, we realized we work with a lot of publishers. Of course, we don't curate this. Like we curate the content. We do not build the content. We work with a lot of publishers. We work with a lot of brands to bring this content to you with the right credible, trustworthy platform. So as we started developing this, we realized there was a lot of white space as well in terms of building our own muscle for this consumption. So that's where some of our new brand sort of germinated from. So we tested out gaming as a consumption category, and then was born the idea of Nostra. So that's essentially our gaming platform. We do everything gaming. So today there are individual platforms. If you want to consume a live stream, there is something like a Twitch, or you in India you have YouTube, or a lot of newer apps that are coming in, Router, Loco, and so on. So then there are instant games and there are downloadable games. So the intent is, for everything you have to go to a different, you know, space. You have to go to a, you know, app store, you have to go to a independent app, you have to go to a certain website. How can I bring all of this together to you on one platform? So the idea of Nostra was that bring everything gaming in one platform and give everyone a chance to try their hand, right? We are all gamers, like even as kids, right? We play games in different shapes and forms. So you may not be an active hardcore gamer, but in some way or the other, we're all, you know, we like that little 2 minutes of fun time that and gaming on your phone. So there's a platform offers everything to you. If you want to spend time learning about different games, or just watching other people play, you can watch live streams. You like competing, go and compete. There are tournaments available. You like quick, fast action, you can just instantly play a game on your lock screen. You don't have to download any apps. There are about 500 plus games available in the library. You want to download hardcore games, that's also available. So that's one. Then we also built Raposo, which is our trending, anything trending in the world, be it in terms of actually purchasing stuff. So if you want to shop for stuff which is trending, or just watch stuff, you know, consume stuff that's trending in the form of live videos or shows. So that's our brand that actually sells you trends in different ways and forms, right? So people eat shopping, live shows, entertainment, and so on. So Raposo was it was an app that we acquired, which was a short video app, about 3 years back, and then we sort of built it into what it is today, which is shifted from short video, because there was a lot of influx of short video. We felt that live is a different cut of entertainment that we can actually bring to viewers. It was seeing a lot of uptake in global countries. So in India, we were one of the first ones to sort of bring live entertainment in a way to India about a year and a half back. Saw some great green shoots there, and then, you know, developed the entire product to sort of now take it out to market. So you have everything from live entertainment to live shopping to just, if you want to buy trendiest of products, they're all available there at the most reasonable prices. So Ruposo was again built out of that. And then on the surface side, as lock screen sort of started taking shape, we realized there are other screens on your device. So we've now built home screen, which is another surface layer that you can go to and consume. Folders is another way to consume data on your phone, right? Typically, folders has been on your phone, on your mobile devices for a while, right? It's a standard product that your operator would sort of install on your device. But what we've done is taken it to the next level. So apart from just organizing your phone, we're also offering you a solution to look at content. So all the apps that are curated for you in your folder, it'll get organized, but you can also consume content within the folder itself. So you don't have to, I mean, unless you need to, with an intent, you don't need to actually go inside an app. You can just do a quick consumption within the folder itself. So the intent is anything that was pretty much transformable, we've moved that surface. Another space we are trying on the screens is TV. We launched a product on TV about a year back. We're slightly transforming it now and relaunching it in a new avatar. So you will see that product out in the market. It's essentially, again, similar. When your screen is on an idle behavior, when you're not actively watching TV, how can we take that ambient screen and convert it into something meaningful? So in India, it's not a very very heavy behavior right now where we keep our TVs on. We're a little more sort of careful about it. But in global markets, a lot of times your television screen is like switched on. It's on throughout the day. Even when you're not consuming, it'll be on an idle screen behavior. So how can that screen, which is just playing in your house with probably just some beautiful images or wallpapers, how can that also continue to give you information? So we're looking at transforming that screen as well. So yeah, very interesting. It's a very interesting space. No one has sort of thought of, you know, the possibility of it in this space. We feel this could potentially be the next change in the way consumption is happening. We've seen those decadal changes, right? It was browsers first, then the app decade came, and you know, everyone was creating apps and then pushing out apps. We feel screens could be, I mean, there's of course conversations around metaverse and so on, but the entry point to that is still screens. It will still be your devices, right? So devices are potentially not going anywhere. Your device will stay in some shape or form. So how can then screens become also another surface for you apart from, you know, browsers or apps? What's the next level? We feel this could be the next change in behavior that we could be sort of the first to sort of initiate, and hopefully we're seeing other players also sort of adapt. So you have Apple, and which came up with its lock screen offering about a year back, right? Last year in June they announced it. So there is there is that shift in general across the competition behavior as well, where there is acknowledgement that there is a possibility here that this surface could play a meaningful role. We feel we have a little more headroom there because we've sort of got there first. We've experimented, figured what's really working. Albeit right now, we're right now more in the Asian market. India is our primary market, and we are also present in Indonesia, where we launched about 3 years back. Japan, we just recently announced a launch in just about 6 months back. So Asia, we pretty much cover all larger markets. We're very soon in the process of, you know, launching in other international geographies as well, which is Latin America, North America, and potentially Europe. So the slight a way to go out in the market is slightly different. We do not do a direct user acquisition route. We actually work with operators or carriers or telcos, so to say, in the Indian parlance, where we become a part of your you know, your device. So we're become pre-installed onto the device when you're setting it up. So that way you do not have to make an effort because if we want to be on the screen that we want to be, people will not go download another app. That's not the point. We want to be right in the journey. So which is why we sort of go built in into the OS. And that's our way to sort of reach millions of consumers in a single at a one time. So currently about, I think we're close to around 220 million active users between India and Indonesia. Japan just started, so it's very nascent. And overall, we're actually on almost 500 million devices in the Asian market right now. And with, of course, the vision is that by 2024, hopefully we'll be on 1 billion devices with our launches in the global markets that are planned out and ramped up. And of course, once all the surfaces come together, you'll be able to see a much more cohesive, much more, stronger way for you to interact with screens. Right now, these are independent products, but we hope to bring it all together in a manner that it feels very seamless and very intuitive to the customer to switch from one screen to another without having to have a break in the journey. And without them having to sort of lose any of whatever that they were doing on one screen to the other. So each screen will eventually at some point get connected. So yeah, that's been the journey. It's been interesting to be a part of this and to see it grow and to see the kind of response that we are getting. Of course, a lot of things to fix. We are also learning along the way because completely new, untested, uncharted waters for us as well. So we're learning every day as we hear feedbacks from users and we continue to improvise. But I feel the larger vision is a very interesting space, and I'm looking forward to be a part of this. Yeah,
that's pretty interesting. I mean, you are basically trying to be the single largest platform for content which is curated by you, right? So that is something which is pretty exciting, and to an extent, or rather, it actually calls for a lot of personalization.
Absolutely. Right?
So how do you actually give a personalized experience to your consumers? And, it will be great if you can share some examples on this.
So there is, of course, a whole personalization layer built in, right? We cannot operate a platform of this magnitude without personalization and curation. So there are two levels. I mean, of course, there is, we learn from the user, so we take your signals, right? So there are times where you can give me a deterministic signal to say, I like these particular categories. You can go into Glance in the settings when you're setting up your phone. You can actually choose to say, I like, these 5, 6, 10 or all content categories that you want. I want to be, spoken to in these languages. So there's curation available. You can select your language. You can customize what you want. So these are deterministic signals that I will get from you. A lot of times users may not be aware. And that's where the exploration behavior starts, right? So we will start teasing you with different types of content and see what you're reacting to. And depending on that, the system will pick those signals. And then based on that exploration, we'll start sending you more. So if you're interacting with a certain kind of content, which is pretty much like how all tech platforms work, right? If you're interacting with certain kind of content, we know that you're showing affinity for it. So we'll try and show you more of it. Even when you've given us a deterministic signal, like you've told me I like something, I will still test waters with you. Because a lot of times when we choose something, we're coming in with a preset mindset that this is what, this is what it would give me. But you may not be aware that potentially there could be a little more outside that boundaries as well. So while you will give me a signal, I will still try and explore certain things with you. But if you do not show an affinity, I will not, I will pull back, right, over a certain period of time. And if you've not given me any signal to begin with, then we will test waters, right? We know there are certain categories that people like naturally, like news is something that generally people would consume, right? Like you would want to know what's happening in the world. Sports is a mixed bag. Like there are people who love it, and there are some who would just want to know and some who would go into a deep behavior. So again, we'll test waters. Gaming is something that we are seeing a lot of people show affinity across age groups, right? Right from a 20-year-old to, a 40-year-old homemakers also wanting to spend time with a quick game, right? The need states would be different. Someone would be coming in with, I want a game because they're a core gamer versus someone coming in just because it's a stress buster and, just a way to relieve, their day-to-day chores and just get away from it and do something fun. But we're seeing affinity across a lot of age groups on that. So that's something that we see a lot of organic traction for. Live is something that we are testing out in this part of the world. So uptick, but again, it's something that not everyone is picking up. It's a different behavior because it is enabling you to interact. It's not passive consumption. You can interact with the creator. You can actually interact with your community in and around that time and, engage in what is happening. You can change the direction of the show. So it's a slightly different behavior. People are starting to get used to it and attuned to it. So those are things that we test. Shop again is something that, I mean, in general, everyone loves. So we across do test it out. So there is a whole personalization machinery that's or tech stack that's built in. We test waters with users and then see whatever their affinity that they're liking, and the system will personalize it for you. It's not 100% right there. I mean, there are a lot of platforms who have actually perfected this over the years. We were just a 4-year-old company, so we're still sort of our models are learning, and that improvement is happening. So I will not be able to say that we are comparable to some of the bigger players in the market because they have almost decades of like learning, machine learning that they've taken from the user and then applied intelligence on top of it to serve you. We're about a 4-year runway. So the system is it learns organically, of course, as new users comes in. So the setup is there, but we use that to then personalize information. But this is a very critical part of the entire platform because at the end of the day, it is built in the manner where it's supposed to curate the right information for you. So unless you find it's relevant for you, you will not stick onto the platform. So that's the entire base or the premise of the screen behavior that we want you to stick on, which is why we will try and personalize it as close to your needs as possible. So that's how we work. And then, of course, there are other pieces that we run in the back end in terms of what kind of tools that we do to personalize this, which are traditionally the typical standard tools that we've worked with some of the largest players in the across the world, some of the top global players to run this technology.
That's interesting. And what intrigues me is that this is actually it's a digital offering, right? And marketing per se has changed so much over the years. How do you reach out to consumers offering your services in this digital age?
We ourselves are a platform, to be honest, right? And we tell brands to, this is your window to a lot of consumers because I'm right there on the first interaction point that a user has with the device. You cannot not go into your phone without actually looking at, looking at a glance. That's our biggest sort of space, right? So for us, we actually it's a slightly different set of marketing that we need to do. Our funnel is actually inverted. I am not looking at driving. I users adopt me first and then realize that they are on glance. So because my way to operate in the market, my GTM is through my partners, right? I go through a operator or a telco in the country, right? So I come pre-built into your phone OS, right? So people actually a lot of times our challenge is slightly different, where we are trying to tell users that you are actually on glance because a lot of times their realization is not there. They actually think it's an offering from their service provider. So you're actually using it because if you're using it on a a certain device, you think it's from Samsung or Xiaomi or Realme. We work actually pretty much with almost all operators in the country, manufacturers in the country today. Almost 80% of Android OEMs we work with, at least in India. So the task is slightly trickier, where we are actually trying to sort of drive more awareness and engagement with the user because he's already sort of adopted us. But we do use from time to time when needed, we do use external channels outside. And I think that's something that pretty much even the largest of platforms are doing that today. When you want to and have users realize that they're using a platform or can access your platform, you do have to go out once in a while to mass media or other digital platforms which have a wider reach just to build this. So for us to build this awareness and cognition in users that you're actually using glance and your lock screen that you're seeing with different lock screens that change on your phone are actually being powered by glance and why should you use it or how should you use it. That education is for us runs a lot, of course, on the platform, but also we use the standard digital platforms as well to get the message out to users, typically through different ways and means. It could be through our own content, or we work with, of course, influencers, other brands to get this message out to users. And very recently, actually, we tested out using mass media as a way to also build awareness. So we just launched an integration. We didn't want to do a standard way of running a mass media campaign. So we've launched an integration with Big Boss, which is one of the largest sort of reality shows in India right now. The idea was to get it to more and more Indians across the country, the message of that, you know, this is something that is there on your device and how can you use it. So it's been placed in a very intelligent manner. For the first time, they've actually integrated with a company like ours, a tech company, and it's part of the show. There is actually a daily integration where the contestants get to interact with actually a device, which has never been there in the show. So they actually get to interact with the phone device and they get interesting tips on what they can do during the show. So some hidden or unknown news, or some you know, smart gameplay, or some quick technique that comes to them, which is pretty much what Glance also does in real life, right, when you consume. So we're trying to see if that is a way for users to register you know, what is Glance and how they can use it more effectively. So this is our first foray into sort of, we've tried mass media previously once, like maybe about when we launched the company, but yeah, this is another test that we wanted to do to see if we can reach more homes in, you know, in India through both the digital and the TV integration. So there are newer things that we keep trying out otherwise in terms of how to reach audiences. But typically for us, most of our effort will be on Glance itself, right? Telling users, this is a way for you to go in, because we feel that's our strongest suit. We're the first entry point for any user to unlock their device. So why not use it?
You have all platform and then you have platform approach.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting. And this would probably be the first, right? You know, where you are actually, you know, getting users from your own platform.
That's true. So, and that effort actually happens because the moment I get into, you know, a phone, a manufacturer has sort of added me in. So the moment the device gets activated, once a user opts in it too as part of their setting, we're already on their device. Then it's a matter of, you know, getting them to learn how to use it. Again, it's a new category. So category education is important because it doesn't, like when you've, you know, anytime something new has come into the country, like our digital ecosystem of, you know, payments and so on, right? It was, at that time, it was unimaginable for people that, you know, everyone would be using it, right? Pretty much from, you know, your help to your someone more senior to your business, like anyone. So it's sort of democratized the way we sort of, you know, interact. So we feel that this could be that platform that could cut across as well, right? This is for anyone. I mean, while we want to attract a certain set of users, but it's a platform for anyone. Anyone who owns a device can use this to access whatever that they want.
So let's say if we look at the off-platform options, you know, where you are building this brand in the digital space, you know, how do you see organic search or where do you see organic search in the journey of building a brand like Glance?
No, absolutely. That's a very critical component because that's, like I said, while we want to stop people from going into a heavy search behavior, but for them to know about us, right? For any brand to, you know, for people to build that credibility or trust, today the first thing that they would do is, you know, search for the brand and then also see what other credible sources are talking about you, right? Which could be media, which could be other platforms, and how and what they're talking about it be, you know, influencers or agencies or any other, you know, sources that are out there. So we feel search is a very critical part of our journey because as and when users do find out about us, that's their way to, you know, go and check back to see, considering it's still a new company, right? While we've been there for about 4 years, but it's something new that you were, it's a new category, it's a new, completely new product, right? So it is a good way for them to check back. And for us also, it's an important way to ensure that, you know, users are able to find us in a manner that how to use the product, what they can do around it. And also in general, just an awareness about what the category can do for them, how can it help them, how can it aid them, and so on. So it is a key piece of our, you know, in general approach in marketing, where organic sits at, while I'm not looking to drive traffic because I'm not I'm not an app or a website, but I'm looking at driving in general awareness and perception. So these are the two things that we definitely look at organic search to solve for us. And we look at various efforts and means to make that happen.
Obviously, Glance builds a lot through AI, right? To give that kind of wow experience to the consumer. You know, as far as marketing is concerned, you know, what is your take on AI in marketing?
So I think there are both sides of the coin. We've heard from people who sit on either side of the fence. I think personally, for me, as a marketer, I think any new change that comes in, also AI is not a new thing. Like, we've been using AI in such a form, like, it's been there for decades, right? Personalization as a theme has been on for a while, right? Platforms have been using it for so long. It's just that the newer systems that have come in have actually enabled a far more higher level of interaction or personalization that we can do, and efficiency that we can bring in into the way that we operate. And that's a natural leap of technology that would happen and was expected that it would happen. So I sit somewhere in the middle. I feel that it's, anytime there is a shift in technology, I feel that's a positive change, because it's actually building in far more muscle and helping you actually do better, right? So the onus is on us to figure out a way for how we are going to operate around that technology, and how can we make our life more efficient, as opposed to saying it's going to cut down our jobs, or it will be the doomsday conspiracy, so to say. I just feel it actually can be an aid. It's how you look at it, right? It's a great aid for us to actually improvise the way that we interact with systems and tools, and how do we then pass that communication on to users, right? We can simplify users' lives so much. We can simplify our lives so much. So I'm seeing so much efficiency come into a lot of our processes, right? The time that we would take, or a designer would take, to actually create a single piece of content has actually come down significantly. But you still need that human intervention, because cultural nuances, people nuances, all of this, that still, you need a human intervention to be that, gatekeeper or check to bring in, right? Machine is good. Machine can bring you efficiency, both in cost, in terms of time, in terms of every other lever. But it's an important space to have that human intervention to build in the right signals, right? Because while the machine can give you that insight, but the real, way to use that insight, I think we are still needed to bring that level of awareness to that problem statement and solution. So I'm seeing a lot of change, at least the way we are using technology right now, the ability to now write much more quicker and to be able to churn out content and just basic ideation, but that filter of cleaning up, making it ready for consumption. I think that layer is still going to be pretty much controlled by us. So I'm seeing very good efficiency come in the way at least our teams are operating. I hope we can do more. We're actually working on a lot of, interesting tools that we want to build internally with some of the bigger players, so that we can bring in far more efficiency. Like, we see a lot of spaces where we are spending a lot of time and effort just to build content cards, and a lot of effort is still a lot manual, which actually can be avoided in today's day and time. Like, we're sitting pretty much in 2020, almost 2024 now, so I think we should be moving much more at a much more faster pace than we are today, and that opportunity is what AI is bringing us. So we should grab it with both our hands and figure out how can we make it work for us, as opposed to AI controlling us and telling us what to do, but how can we control it and make it work for us. I think that would be a great way to look at it.
Fantastic. I think you gave me answers for both the current question and the next question by giving me some examples. So, yeah, it was a very positive approach towards AI, because otherwise normally the look at AI as a enemy, as compared to looking at it as an enabler. So that actually, you made my job easier right now by answering both the questions together and in a very nice comprehensive way. So thanks for that. So coming to the next question, Sakshi, throughout your long professional journey, you know, is there any specific growth story or some growth stories that come on top of your mind, you know, which you would like to share?
So several interesting stories throughout. I want to definitely talk about. I think one was early on in the telco days. So I've worked with Aircel Telecom. Of course, now telco market has completely changed. We're back to pretty much a three-player market. When they'd entered, we were around the ninth brand in the market at that time. And within 2 years, it had become like a 12, 13 player market, which was unimagined in telecom, like at least 10 years back. And it was a hard, like it was a hard battle. Everyone was battling for that consumption share in India, and coming as a regional player and going national, I was part of that journey for about 3-4 years when, you know, we took that spike. So we actually moved from, you know, 8th, 9th to pretty much like the 4th, 5th position in the country. And that was a hard, within 2 years, we actually, 2 to 3 years, we made that switch. So there were a lot of interesting things that we did around that time, which were industry firsts. One thing that was very close to me, and I worked very closely on it for about 3 years, was of course the core marketing, and there was a lot of interesting stuff that was happening there. But we actually chose to take a slightly different approach at that time on by building CSR into a marketing communication tool. So while that was not the first choice at that time, we of course, the intentions were always to do good and to solve for a problem statement, but it actually turned into something quite unimaginable even for us, right? So the campaign I'm talking about is actually Save Our Tigers. It was a very interesting campaign at that time, and even today I think a lot of people recall how it actually transformed the way a lot of, you know, Indians thought about things of national pride, right? And those were stats that were not known to people at that time, that, you know, it's like a population in the country is pretty much like almost going to die. And it was a rude shock for a lot of people across the country. And we literally, like, we rallied the entire country to come together for a cause. And that for me was very heartening to be part of that for the 2-3 years that I worked on that. And not just the cause, but it actually had a very wide impact on the brand as well. So while we didn't go in and did not imagine the magnitude of that change that it would bring for us, we went in thinking we should do this as a positive effort and we hoped it would make some change. But the kind of phenomenal response that we saw in terms of people coming together and how cause marketing can actually change the way the perception of your brand, it was an eye-opener for all of us, right? As part of the campaign, we actually sort of grew with it as well, like our learnings. So that was my first learning of how cause marketing can switch perception for brands. It was not that Aircel has any sort of negative perception, but we were like, you know, late entrant into the market. So to create that room for us, that campaign really shifted. Of course, there were a lot of other pieces and, you know, functional pieces that we solved for both at the product level and so on. We launched a lot of new products into the market, which were again industry first. But this really swung the needle in terms of how emotionally people were connecting to the brand. They actually felt that we were doing something good and they wanted to be associated both with the cause and the brand. So that for me was a very interesting shift in the way, you know, audiences perceived us before and after we sort of brought out that campaign. And sort of definitions of cause marketing after that started changing. A lot of brands started adopting that strategy in terms of, you know, building muscle around, you know, how do you take causes out to people in a manner that also brings stickiness and affinity for your brand, and not just as a, you know, check in the box CSR activity that you're doing, which you were anyway, which was compelled to do as an organization, but how can you shift really the boundaries. Then a lot of other interesting things for me. The second one was the next company for me was, so I worked briefly, actually not briefly, for almost 3 years with Ritu Kumar, which was one of the, you know, legacy Indian designers. And it was again a very wonderful experience moving from a corporate structure to work with, you know, sort of family business, right? Proprietor run company. But the shift there, right? A legacy company shifting into transforming into a urban young India first company, and I was part of that journey. Again, a very interesting shift, I think, getting everyone together onto that thought that we need to actually shift the legacy focus into, you know, a young urban brand that actually attracts, like, again across age groups, because the kind of fashion that they did, they had fashion for all age groups, right? So there were three or four brands that I was working on at that time. Of course, the Couture label, which was the signature label that you use for occasions and weddings and so on. But we also launched a couple of other lines. But they were the first Indian brand to take the shift into digital in this space, in the legacy and fashion world, in the Indian fashion world. And I was part of that journey to push them to take that switch. While so we were the first ones to actually go on marketplaces and build our own e-com. Before that, of course, there were very small labels who were doing that in sporadic bursts. But we actually set the path for a lot of other than beginner labels to start realizing that digital is a space to move. And a lot of other then brands followed suit. And you're seeing the change right now in that fashion industry. Like, pretty much all of them are now heavily digital, you know. So, and within the 3 years that I was there, and the 2 years, I actually, like, we saw our portfolio in terms of our revenue shift started to come in, right? Our digital revenues had actually grown to almost 20% of the overall turnover within like 2 years for shifting to an e-com D2C sort of a you know, model. And that foray helped actually push the company into to a lot more newer audiences, a lot more younger audiences sort of got attracted to the brand. So that was an interesting shift, how to move the needle for the business and brand, and also to move it in a legacy brand and also a family run sort of a setup, right? So convincing multiple stakeholders to move that and get that going. It was an interesting way of driving fashion adoption in India. And of course, then, yeah, another journey with Payback and then Bharat Pay. Again, some interesting notes there. I think I was part of the shift that we brought in terms of launching Postpay in India as a brand, right? So again, that was transformational, a new kind of category, bringing it to Indians. So a very interesting play there in terms of shifting how you know, we're adopting credit in a much more digital manner. So that for me again was a new category and a new innovation, and how we brought that from you know, getting it to millions of Indians across the country. So yeah, there are a lot of those interesting stories. And even with Glance, I just feel like the category itself and the nature of the business and the product that we are building, it's so unique, it's so different, that just getting users to realize that, you know, this is, there's so much potential out there, right? Like today, what we're doing is probably, you know, 10-20% of what the potential is out there of transforming screens. So I feel this journey itself for me is an interesting growth story. Like I'm going to be completing about 2 years here. In just the last year and a half, like the shift that we've brought in the way users are consuming screens and the kind of consumption behavior that they're bringing, both in terms of just surface behavior and also within that, how we're consuming, right? Like, we can actually play that role of a digitally responsible platform that's actually telling you, stop, you know, stop overconsumption. Do it right, do it at the right time, and, you know, only enough what is relevant for you. And just make every glance, every moment so much meaningful for you that you do not have to get lost in the negativity of whatever is there on the internet. So I feel just, yeah, this whole paradigm shift in the way the product is there and how we're taking it to market is just a very interesting story in itself. And I'm sort of really happy to be part of this journey.
Interesting, very interesting insights, Sakshi. Last question of this podcast. So Sakshi, can you share any 4 takeaways for budding professionals before we sign off?
That's a hard one there. A lot of things. Like, I think it's the industry is shifting. There's a constant change that is coming in, right? So I think what new in, you know, budding professionals can do is, one is, you know, you need, it's a continuous learning cycle, right? So it's not just school, college, whatever learning that you've done, which is great, but the learning never ends. So you need to be constantly on your toes to be able to shift with the tide and to move on. Otherwise, we'll always continuously be in that struggle to say that, you know, I don't have a job, or I don't, you know, I'm not finding relevance. So you have to create your own relevance. No one will help you. So be on that continuous journey of learning, so that you're not losing, whatever trends are out there. You need to catch them quickly. You need to be able to learn and experiment as well. What works in marketing today is, because there's so much noise out there, the standard tricks of trades do not apply anymore. Like tradition, I mean, your core rules will, your frameworks, first principles, of course, to apply. But there is this whole set of learning that can come in with experimentation. So whatever you pick up, just ensure that you're always, apart from the learning mode, you're always constantly in the experimentation mode. Because both as audiences, like as consumers ourselves, and also being on the other side where we're trying to communicate, you know, what our brand or offering is to consumers, that to understand that perception and shift, you need to be in that continuous experimentation cycle, because we're changing so fast, right? Today, I mean, like, just as I said, we're launching new categories and products. People have never realized that you could also do this with a screen or a behavior, right? So just that journey and cycle is a lot of experimentation to test what users will resonate with, what they will not. And that's true for any type of product or solution that you're working with. So be in that constant journey of exploration and experimentation once you get into business. The third, while I said experimentation is important, I'll also go back to saying the first principles approach. If you're not clear in any type of the way that you want to approach something, the first principles approach is what you can always fall back on. And that's true for, you know, any sort of works that you're doing. So try and keep it, go back to the basics, go back to the way you can simplify the problem in the most, you know, to the lowest common denominator, and then try and build up how you can solve for it. Because a lot of times we get bogged down by millions of options, same way as consumers we are bogged down by what to do and what to see. We get, as marketers, also struggle to solve for, you know, how should I go about things. So that's always your typically of, you know, as long as your frameworks are right, you can always lean back on those frameworks to solve for a problem. The last, I think, the way that we are looking at content and creating a creation of content, I think we all need to be able to, I think while being a specialist is a great space, but you also need to be able to, in today's world, also play at the same time a hat of a generalist, right? So while you may go sharper on a particular vertical, but you should be able to also understand what's happening in around you, and how can you use, like, everything has become about content, right? How do you create the right messaging so that your consumer understands what is it that you're trying to tell it, and then of course goes into the entire funnel of understanding and consideration, adoption, and so on. So it's a two-layer thing. You should be able to understand nuances of what's happening in and around you, apart from your specialization, be able to play that lens or layer to be able to go wider while you go deep, but also use content as a very powerful way of building the right messages, understanding the right insight, and then using storytelling in an innovative and interesting manner. Today, it's all about that. I think we're far away from the earlier times where, you know, you could create one ad and that will, you know, entire year could run with that. Today, it's a time of, like, so much of fast consumption. There is so much noise out there that to create enough spikes for your brand, you will have to continuously innovate and come up with newer pieces that can resonate with your audiences and to build that affinity. So using the understanding of the other verticals and then bringing it down into one, that interesting piece of content that can go out, I think that will be the next leap of how you can solve for solving a problem statement, or, you know, solving for your product or promise to reach the right set of consumers or so on. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot more. I think there's a lot more learning that goes along the way. I would just urge people to get into the workforce as soon as they can. Theoretical learning takes you to a certain point, but unless you actually get into it and apply it, it's very different. So while all of that is great and it helps you and stays in good stead, but get into the workforce very soon, put your hands in it. If you cannot get a full-time job at this point in time, try consulting, try putting yourself out there. I think there are enough and more ways today for, you know, young people to get into the workforce. It doesn't have to be the typical 9-to-5 way. There are so many more opportunities for people today to try their hands off at building and learning. So I would urge that, just get into it, try your hand. There's just so much options available today. I feel like I wish I started my journey now, because I feel like I could do so many more things. But it's a great time to be in this space, in the marketing industry, to have a lot more fun than what we had in, you know, early days. And I enjoyed that time, but I'm enjoying now more than ever.
Right. Thanks, Sakshi, for the wonderful insights. So, ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of yet another insightful episode of The Growth Genius. This is something which was quite insightful for me as well. There is a service platform which actually acquires consumers through its own platforms and even out of it. The times are changing, my friends, and so is marketing and business. And that is why at The Growth Genius, we bring to you content which is more relatable and more insightful. I hope you are learning and getting inspired by our content. And if that is the case, do like, share and subscribe to our content on various social media platforms or audio platforms. The links to all of these are given in the descriptor below. So till the next episode of The Growth Genius, keep learning, keep inspiring. Thank you.